Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. You know, February is the month of romance. I fell in love with the scripts from a lost old-time radio series called The First 100 Years. We spent most of 2014 recording the existing 9 scripts. Here's episode 2. The newlyweds are home from the honeymoon, and the groom finds out about the gift of the house next door, which comes with its own set of problems.
Do you really think a man like me can be happy married?
Yes, I do, son. If you just keep in mind one thing, the first 100 years are the hardest.
American Radio Theater presents a lost show from the days of old-time radio. Episode 2 of The First 100 Years. It's called Homecoming from the Honeymoon. Connie and Chris Thayer have been married exactly a week now, and they're on their way home from their honeymoon. They're sitting across from one another, each staring out of the train window. Would you like to know what they're thinking? Listen.
I'm married. Married? Gee, that's a funny word when you have to apply it to yourself. That's my wife sitting across from me. My wife. The most perfect woman ever created. She has everything in the world a woman could have. Beauty, intelligence, and me. I wish I could tell her how I feel. She's 107 years old and she hasn't any teeth or any hair. I'm still going to love her. I wonder what she's thinking about. She's so quiet.
It's funny how everything changes when you're married. I've taken this train ride so many times with my family before I even knew there would be a Chris in my life. I've looked at those houses and those billboards and those trees, but now they look different. They've changed overnight. Or maybe I have. Come to think of it, I haven't that.
What are you laughing about, honey?
Nothing. I was just thinking.
Oh.
Gee, it sure is a beautiful day.
It sure is. I hope we're going to be able to find an apartment. My father said he'd hunt. So did the fellas.
Remember, I told you my pop had a surprise for you?
An apartment?
No. Don't ask me any questions. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Okay, Miss Mysterious.
Mrs. Mysterious.
All right, Mrs. Mysterious. Well, my father must be getting out the car now to come down and meet us. Your father's probably doing the same.
My father's probably telling my mother to hurry up. Yeah, I can just see him. Right this minute, he's standing by the door telling my mother to hurry up.
Now, Claire, hurry up. I don't know why it is you can never be ready to go any place when I am.
Well, Walter, I simply cannot go out on the street without a dress on. No matter how it upsets you or how long you have to wait, I simply have to have time to put my dress on.
I have no objection to waiting while you put your dress on. It's waiting while you put your face on that takes the time.
Well, I have them both on now, so we can go.
The kids are going to wonder why we're not at the train.
I know, but you wanted to come over to this Victorian mansion you brought for them.
I want to be sure the house is ready for them, and the boys' parents will be at the station. Just look up at that house. 3 stories and a lookout. Isn't that something?
It sure is. Every time I look up, I expect a witch to fly down on a broomstick.
You're not yourself today, Mother.
Well, I'm so provoked with you for buying this monstrosity that...
No, I have the key right here.
How old is this place?
I've been trying to find out. It's over 100 years, I'm sure of that. It's only a bat.
Every time you open that door, a bat flies out. I don't like bats. I never have liked bats. I never will like bats.
Bats won't hurt you. All old houses have bats.
And only people who are bats buy them.
Claire!
Well, just look at this house. Look at that miserable furniture.
It takes time to furnish a house. It's a lucky thing I was able to pick up even a few sticks for them.
Sticks? That is certainly the right word. Well, I might as well go up to the second floor and open the bedroom windows. Watch for smoke signals in case I get lost.
What time is it?
Almost 10. The train will be in soon.
I can't wait to see that boy's face when he realizes this magnificent structure belongs to them.
Well, one thing, it will be nice to have them next door. I'm kind of sorry we didn't go down to the train. I can just see them now sitting on the trains. Connie's probably talking a mile a minute.
And then my father said to him, he said, "Well, if that's the way you feel, it's all right with me, but I'm taking my business someplace else."
Good for him. Connie, I hope we can find a small apartment. You know, something real modern. I like everything modern.
You do?
Sure. Well, you said you did too.
I did? Well, old things are kind of nice too. You know, kind of historic. Well, we'll talk about that later. Now, Chris, we're going to get off the train in a few minutes, and there's something I think we should discuss.
Okay.
We've got to adjust ourselves to our new position in the community.
Huh?
After all, we got on the train a week ago, two irresponsible kids, and now we're getting off a matron.
We're getting off a what?
Well, I'm getting off a matron, and you're getting off, what's the masculine equivalent to matron? What do they call a matron's husband?
Jerk?
Chris, we are now adult, mature citizens of the community. We must bear in mind our civic responsibilities, and we must try to be worthwhile.
All right. I promise to do my best to be worthwhile.
Can't you be serious?
Not when you're looking at me like that. All I can think about when you look like that is how much I'd like to kiss you.
Chris, someone will see.
What if they do? It's legal, and it's wonderful. Hello, Mrs. Thayer.
Hello, Mr. Thayer.
We're coming into the station.
Are we?
Darling.
Darling.
There they are.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Mother.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Thayer.
Oh, Chris, my little boy. My little boy.
Hey, Mother, hold back the waterworks.
Oh, Chris, you look just the same. Just the same.
Well, how did you expect him to look? Come on now. Let's get the bags and get out of here.
Where are my folks?
Your father and mother are over at the...
Frank, I'm sure I don't know. I haven't any idea what your father's doing. Your father could be doing almost anything.
Walter, what on earth are you doing with those rags?
I'm polishing this cherry paneling.
Well, I've got to go back upstairs with these towels.
I'll go up with you.
You don't mind the trip?
Trip? You speak as though those bedrooms are in the next county.
Well, sometimes it seems as though they are.
Everyone should have houses with stairs. It's good exercise.
Yes, dear. Well, gird your loins. Here we go. Oh, we're going to have to invest in some oxygen masks.
The trouble with you is you're soft. A pioneer woman would laugh at these steps.
Oh, timber.
Now, you see, don't you feel better after a little exercise?
Okay. Hercules, lead on.
Those kids are going to develop muscles, believe me.
They're liable to be muscle-bound.
Am I muscle-bound?
Possibly, in the head.
Claire!
Well, I'm sure I can't think of any other reason why you'd buy two helpless children a house like this.
It has oak. They're going to love this house.
I'll just put these towels down. Don't sit on the bed. It's all made fresh. If you're tired, sit on the chair.
I am not tired. I was simply going to test the mattress.
What for?
I simply wanted to see how it slept.
Oh, well, this room seems to be all right. Let's go up to the next floor and take a last look at the study.
The next floor?
Well, what's the matter? Getting enough of the stairs?
Stairs? I love stairs.
Well, then, come on. Pike's Peak or bust. Half a league onward.
Before the winter's here, you'll be running up these stairs.
I wonder what the children will do when they're up here and the phone rings downstairs.
They'll run down and answer it.
It's practically a sleeper jump. Oh, well, here we are.
You can get quite a view from this hall window. Come over and see.
Not just now. I don't want to get airsick. Oh, there's a horn. They can't be here already.
It's them, all right. Come on, Mother.
Go back down? How? Throw the key out the window and have them meet us up here.
We can't do that. Come on. You'll get used to the stairs. In a day or so, they won't seem like anything.
I should live so long. All right, fasten your seatbelt and let's start down.
Why, these stairs are nothing. Nothing at all. Ugh.
What's the matter? Getting tired?
No, I'm not tired. Just a little cramp in my leg.
Probably the bends.
No such thing. I knew I shouldn't have played that extra game of handball last night.
Our fans are calling for us. Lead on, Macduff.
Hey, the door's open.
That's just a bat, Mrs. Thayer.
Anyone we know?
Anybody home?
Hold everything. We're coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Mother, Pop.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Where have you been? Up to the second floor for the weekend?
It's so dark. I can't see a thing in here.
You're lucky.
Mother, Pop. Gee, you look wonderful. Did you miss us? I looked for you at the station.
Well. Pop's little girl. Son, I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you, too, Pop. What are you doing over here in this old dump,
Old dump? This house has cherry paneling, oak floors, copper pipes, beamed ceilings, genuine gas jets.
And by actual account, 1,652 stairs.
Come with me, son. I'm going to show you this house.
Where did the furniture come from?
Your father picked it up at an auction.
Looks like it, too.
What's the matter with that furniture?
Don't be so thin-skinned. I just said it looks like you picked it up at an auction.
I always did think those Cupid dolls with the clocks in their stomachs were kind of cute.
Walter thought that would add a touch. The auctioneer threw it in for 50 cents.
It's a genuine relic.
And so am I at this point. So, if nobody minds, I'm going to lie down while you take a tour of the inspection.
Oh.
The couch is breaking down.
Mother!
Claire, what are you doing to that couch?
Mother, are you hurt?
I don't know. Just throw a sheet over me and leave me here until spring.
You can't trust things bought at auctions.
That was a very handsome couch. Connie, that couch is 51 years old.
I'd never know it.
I would.
Chris, my boy, I want you to take a look at this cherry paneling. Isn't that handsome?
Well, I'm afraid I don't know very much about cherry paneling, sir.
You will.
Wait until you see the basement. The pipes are all copper.
Mr. Thayer, I'm perfectly capable of conducting this tour of inspection.
Sorry, Mr. Martin. I just didn't want you to forget about the pipes.
Now, Chris, this house has 3 floors, 7 bedrooms, and a lookout. The bedrooms and the lookout are upstairs.
In the stratosphere.
They must be very fine rooms, sir.
They are, my boy. They are. On this floor, you have this magnificent 200-foot living room. There's also a kitchen, a butler's pantry, a serving porch, a dining room, a small informal parlor, a large formal parlor, a sitting room, a library, and a ballroom. And it's all yours, my wedding present to you.
That's certainly a lot of room, all right. What did you say?
He said it was ours, darling.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, what are we going to do with 7 bedrooms?
That's what I said, and he said he expected us to be prolific enough to fill them.
But that will take years.
It sure will.
Well, what do you say, my boy?
Pop's waiting for you to say thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. This is a day I'll never forget.
Chris is really terribly grateful, Mr. Martin. He's just overwhelmed.
I can understand that.
I'm sure that all his life, Chris has admired cherry paneling.
And from all I can see, you've got ants in your paneling.
Now, Chris, if you'd like to take a look at the upstairs, I'll wait down here for you.
Oh, no, you won't. You'll go with him. You'll show him every inch of this beautiful mansion with your own 2 feet.
And we'll all wait down here for you. You two just run along and have a good time.
Chris, maybe you'd better take your heavy coat.
My heavy coat?
Your heavy coat and an alpine walking stick.
Now see here, Claire.
Excelsior, Frank. Excelsior.
Well, come on. Come on.
How was the trip to the lake, Connie? How was the trip to the lake, Connie? Connie!
You sit there looking at the fireplace, but not really seeing it. You start thinking about your honeymoon at the lake. You remember how, at sunset, you and Chris stood alone looking out across the lake? You felt solemn, as though, for a moment, you stood very close to something infinite. And suddenly, Chris said,
I think when you reach the end of your lifetime, it must be the moments like this that you find you remember forever.
Yes, it must.
A lot of things come in between. Laughter and tears and worries and anger. But at the end of it all, the things like this would have to stand out. The two of you beside a lake watching the sun go down when you were young. I sound like a graybeard, don't I? Why should I be thinking of the end of our lives when this is the beginning?
Perhaps that's why. Let's come back here when we're very old. Let's come back and stand here, hand in hand the way we are now, and I'll say, thank you. Thank you for a very lovely lifetime, Mr. Thayer.
And I'll say, thank you, Mrs. Thayer. It was my pleasure. Have I told you I love you very much?
Not recently. Not for at least 5 minutes.
Other people think they've been in love. They don't even know what love is. No one ever felt like this before.
No, not like this. Never before.
There's the bell for dinner.
I'll race you down the hill. I'm starved.
Get on your mark. Get set. Go!
Honey. How was the trip to the lake?
Connie, Mr. Thayer speaking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Thayer, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said, how was the trip to the lake?
Oh, it was nice, very nice.
Mr. Thayer and I went there on our honeymoon.
Well, don't get emotional about it.
You were so beautiful.
I was not beautiful. My word, the way you put things sometimes, Mary.
You were beautiful.
I was not beautiful. I was handsome.
You had a striped bathing suit with a little skirt on it. It came down to your knees. And I remember you were afraid it was immodest.
I certainly was the OU kid in those days.
Well, I've seen the second floor, the third floor, and the lookout.
Where's Pop?
He went to bed.
He did? What?
He went to bed.
I knew he'd fall by the wayside.
In your bed?
I don't know whose bed it was. He just said, I think I'd better test this mattress. And a minute later, he was sure testing it.
Let him rest, Mother. He's tired.
I'm not going to go up those stairs again today. for man or beast, nor your father. Oh, I have to run home for a few minutes and turn my roast on.
I'll go with you.
Why don't you run along too, Mary? I'll have a little visit with Chris.
Oh, all right.
We can go out the back way.
Now, son, I'm not going to have you railroaded into a house like this. Why, the repair bills alone will eat up your salary on you. And as for the upkeep...
I know, Dad, but what can I do?
You could tell old man Martin you aren't going to live in this house. By thunderation! You could tell him in no uncertain terms.
Well, I'll ask Connie what she thinks.
Don't ask Connie what she thinks, Chris. You tell her what she thinks. That's the only way to get along with women. You let them know who's boss.
Is that how you've gotten along with Mother?
Well, I didn't make certain things clear when I was your age. But by all that's holy, I'm going to see that you get started right. The first thing you know, her father's going to be running your lives, and you don't want that.
No, I don't.
So you put your foot down, and you keep it down. You let her know what's what and who's who around here right now. That old man of hers gives me a pain. I can't stand fathers that interfere in their children's lives.
I've got to really put my foot down, huh?
Firmly.
We're going to move, and we're going to move right now.
Right now!
I'm the head of this family, and I intend to be the head.
Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah, now I'm doing the cooking. She's liable to be the one that's burned up.
Just what do you mean you're the head of this family and you intend to be the head?
I mean I'm the head of this family.
Well, what does that make me?
What does that make you? Well, that makes you my wife.
An underling wife?
Well, it's not that you're an underling, it's just that I'm an overling.
Not over me, you're not.
I do not intend to spend the night in this house.
Do you want to break my father's heart?
If I don't, my father's going to break my head.
This is a perfectly beautiful house.
Where?
Everywhere. It has oak grates and copper paneling and cherry pipes.
And 300 rooms?
It does not. It has 23 rooms, counting the basement.
Well, that's 20 too many.
You just don't like my father.
I do like your father.
Well, you certainly have a funny way of showing it.
Come on now, honey. We'll spend the night at my house and...
No, we won't. We'll spend the night right here.
We're not going to spend the night in this house.
You can spend the night wherever you choose. I'm going to stay right here.
Then you'll stay alone.
All right, then I'll stay alone.
All right.
Chris?
Yes?
You forgot your bag.
Oh. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You walk down the street. You feel like the prize heel of all time. Brutus had nothing on you. Neither did Simon Legree. Captain Bligh, who made men walk the plank, was an angel compared to you. You might as well crawl into the grass and snake your way home. You remember how just the night before Connie said to you,
"We'll never have fights, will we, Chris?"
I don't know what we'd fight about.
I want our grandchildren to be able to say theirs was the perfect marriage, and all the days they lived were beautiful.
Just think. Monday I'll be back at work. We'll be two settled old married people by then.
I've been studying cookbooks. I've got menus planned for the first 6 months.
Really?
I'm going to cook you breast of guinea hen and stuffed peacock and barbecue grouse.
Stuffed peacock? Grouse? Where on earth are you going to get things like that?
From the butcher.
Oh. Well, if he doesn't have it, steak and potatoes will be just fine. Whatever you do will be just fine, Connie.
Oh, darling. I'm so happy. So happy.
Chris? Chris, what are you doing with that suitcase?
Oh. Hello, Mrs. Martin. I'm going home.
To your mother?
Well, not exactly.
Has something happened?
Well, Connie wants to stay in the house, and I don't think it's practical. And I said I wasn't going to stay, so of course I had to go.
I see. Well, this happened a little earlier than it usually happens.
You mean this happens to other people?
It happens to everyone, only usually it's the girl who goes home to Mother.
Well, this happens to be her house.
I thought it belonged to both of you. Chris, you don't really want to go home, do you?
No.
Well, then why don't you come back with me and talk with Connie?
Well, I don't suppose it would do any harm to talk to her.
No harm at all. Come on, we'll go into the back door here. That's the handiest.
She's crying.
That's quite usual, too.
Oh, it's you.
Why are you crying, Connie?
Crying? I'm not crying. I just got something in my eye.
Something like a tear, maybe?
I don't really care to discuss it, Mother.
Well, that's too bad, because I'd like to discuss it. And so would Chris. Chris, for heaven's sake, put that bag down and sit down and close your mouth before someone throws a fish in it.
Oh, sure.
Now look, your lives are your own business. No one can live them for you. The most your parents can do for you is to point out certain things to you as you go along. And you can accept what we say or not, just as you see fit. But, Connie, Chris, I must say this to you. Love is the most wonderful thing that can come into your lives. It's a thing that can make every day beautiful and every year something to look back on. It's something everyone, consciously or not, is seeking, but not everyone finds. When you have found it, you have found the best life that can offer you. And if you want to keep it, then you must cherish it. You must guard it. You mustn't hurl words and anger and unpleasant scenes and arguments against it. Because if you win an argument, you may lose a lifetime of happiness. There is great strength in love, but not the strength to withstand abuse. I tell you this now, when you are young, so that one day you will not learn it to your sorrow when you are no longer young.
I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm sorry, too.
I'll go to your house tonight.
No, we'll stay here.
No, we'll go to your house.
No, we'll stay here.
We'll go to your house.
I want to stay here.
No, you don't want to stay here.
Yes, I do want to stay.
You don't.
I do.
You do what?
Oh, Pop, he says he wants to stay here tonight.
Well, of course he does. And who wouldn't want to stay in this magnificent old house with the cherry paneling and the oak floors and the copper pipes? I'd like to stay here myself.
Well, you're not invited. You come right along to your own house, dear.
Yes, Mother. You know, I'm tired.
Even after sleeping all afternoon?
Well, I felt all right when I woke up, but by the time I walked downstairs, I was tired again.
Well, come on, Walter. Let's leave these children to get settled.
Okay. If you want anything, just open the window and holler.
We will.
You know, I think you'd better make a guidebook so people can find their way around in this house.
Well, Mrs. Thayer, we're alone at last.
So it would seem, Mr. Thayer.
Come on outside. There's a very important item to be taken care of.
What?
How in the world did you forget an important tradition like this one?
Oh, of course.
I've got to carry you over the threshold.
Chris?
Hmm?
Don't you think, as long as my father gave us this house, I should carry you over the threshold?
Nope. Here you go, ooh, Mrs. Thayer. And here we go. Over the threshold and into the years.
The first 100 years, Mr. Thayer.
The first 100 years, Mrs. Thayer.
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's version of a lost old-time radio show. It was episode 2 of First 100 Years. In our cast, you heard Chuck Royalty as Christopher Thayer, Morgan Maines as Connie Thayer, Kim Turner as Walter Martin, Melinda Maines as Claire Martin, Linda Rasmussen as Mary Thayer, and Moki O'Reilly as Frank Thayer. Directed by Greg Porter and Marjorie Lutton, produced by Joy Jackson. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. First 100 Years was originally broadcast on American Broadcasting Company on August 4, 1949. It was created and written by Gene Holloway. In the original cast were Sam Edwards, Barbara Eiler, Earl Ross, B. Benaderet, Joe Kearns, Myra Marsh, and Barbara Whiting. I'm your announcer, Dan Schindler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the 1930s. These were all on the radio at various times.
The American Spirit March. And in the American Spirit, the Work Projects Administration presents a transcribed program by its Southern California WPA Symphony Orchestra under the direction of James Sample. Our guest speaker today is Mr. Manchester Bodie, editor and publisher of the Los Angeles Daily News and well-known West Coast radio commentator. The orchestra plays now the composer Weber's well-known Jubel Overture. First performed in 1818, the coda of this work was built on the English national anthem, God Save the King. Thank you.
Now the orchestra plays the wedding march from the suite Le Coq d'Or, or the Golden Cockerel by Rimsky-Korsakov. Pause briefly in the musical portion of our program to present our guest speaker, Mr. Manchester Bodie, editor and publisher of the Los Angeles Daily News and a well-known West Coast radio commentator. Mr. Bodie will give his views on the opportunities afforded the men of our new army. Mr. Bodie.
There is no place in the entire land where one learns the nature of his fellow citizens and the necessity of adjusting himself to that nature so quickly and so thoroughly as in our new army. If you are a selectee, or if you happen to be the parent or friend of a boy who has been taken into the service, shed no tears about a sacrifice being made. It may appear to be one, but in fact, he is attending a university from which he can get more usable, practical education than he could possibly get from any other institution. Regardless of what profession or trade or a walk of life he has left behind, or may one day enter, the months he has spent rubbing elbows with the young men of his own generation will have furnished the lessons that will carry him the farthest toward ultimate success.
Thank you, Mr. Bodie. And these lessons will not come easy. Valuable lessons never do. However, thanks to the WPA recreational programs, life in Army camps is not entirely a matter of learning the hard way. These programs are furnishing clean, wholesome entertainment to the boys in uniform that is as much needed during these trying times as is military training itself. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Manchester Bodie, editor and publisher of the Los Angeles Daily News and well-known Pacific Coast commentator, has just spoken concerning some of the advantages afforded men of our military forces. The orchestra again comes to attention, and you will hear the Wailers song by Hugo Wolf.
sacred isle, dear lamb, far distant shining, the mist beguiled by thy sunny strand from ocean, chaplets for the gods are twining. Eternal waves ascending, thy vernal slopes lost you three.
And in the American spirit, the Work Projects Administration presents a transcribed program of music written by the American composer Homer Simmons and played by the Southern California WPA Symphony Orchestra, directed by the young American conductor James Sample. Mr. Simmons was born in Indiana. He is a pupil of Paderewski in piano and Respighi in composition, and has toured Europe and the United States as a concert pianist. His Partita Americana, excerpts from which we will now hear, is a succession of dances in syncopated rhythm. It is written for two pianos and orchestra, and this performance features the composer and Mr. George Charles, another well-known artist, at the pianos. First, we hear the prelude and fuguetto from Partita Americana. Thank you.
Next, we hear the Foxtrot movement from Partita Americana. Our hospitals have never had all the nurses and other workers they need. And today, because of the war, they are more seriously understaffed than ever. Thousands of nurses are leaving our hospitals to serve in the Army and Navy, and thousands of ward helpers, orderlies, and laboratory attendants are also answering the call to the colors. The shortage of nurses alone in this country is estimated at 50,000. The shortage can hardly be met by nurses' training schools, which turn out only half that number in a year. The only solution is to provide our hospitals with nurses' aides and other helpers. These people can take over some of the simpler routine tasks of nurses and thus enable the nurses to do more of the work which they alone can do. To help meet this need, the WPA has assigned more than 10,000 of its workers to hospitals in all parts of the country. The hospitals receiving this aid include not only public hospitals, but also non-profit private hospitals that do charity work for public agencies. 3/4 of the WPA workers in these hospitals are already performing specific duties under the direction of doctors and nurses, and the rest of them are being given a course of general training to fit them for a number of specific tasks. Some of the workers are making themselves useful in the wards, feeding helpless patients and making beds. Others are working in kitchens and laundries. Still others are serving as laboratory attendants, washing and sterilizing equipment, keeping records, and so on. These WPA workers are giving valuable assistance to the heavily burdened staffs of our hospitals. Once again, the WPA has proved its ability to meet an emergency need. Returning again to the music of Partita Americana by Homer Simmons, we will hear the rumba movement. And so we bring to a close the delightful transcribed music from Partita Americana by Homer Simmons and played by the Southern California WPA Symphony Orchestra under the direction of James Sample. This program has been a presentation of the Work Projects Administration for the education and entertainment of the public. And to remind our listeners that the United States government has set up an easy way to buy defense bonds. It saves all the trouble of going to a post office or bank. It's an easy payment plan and makes defense bond buying simple. Ask your employer about the payroll savings plan for buying United States defense bonds.
That's all I've got time for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, and listen to some of our podcasts. We put up a new show every month. Also, stop by the old-time radio chat room at radioutofthepast.org. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, a group of us gather to talk and play old-time radio shows. Hey, see you there!